Today is the third Sunday after Easter, and the epistle for the third Sunday after Easter is taken from St. Peter's first epistle, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to refrain yourselves from carnal desires which war against the soul, having your conversation good among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by the good works which they shall behold in you glorify God in the day of visitation. Be ye subject therefore to every human creature for God's sake, whether it be to the king as excelling, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of the good. For so is the will of God, that by doing well you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not as making a liberty a cloak for malice, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and now you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then some of his disciples said one to another, "What is this that he saith to us, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father'?" They said therefore, "What is this that he saith, 'A little while'? We know not what he speaketh." And Jesus knew that they had a mind to ask him, and he said to them, "Of this do you inquire amongst yourselves, because I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me'? Amen, amen, I say to you, that they shall lament and weep, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be made sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she hath brought forth the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. So also you now indeed have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. "A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me. Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall lament and weep, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy." Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. June 18th in the year 1815 should have been a very glorious day for the history of the British Empire. It was on that day that the British forces won the Battle of Waterloo and defeated Napoleon. But unfortunately, one man used this occasion to ultimately destroy the lives of many in Great Britain. You see, it was an influential banker who received news before anyone else did that the English had won the war. And without going into a discussion of the stock market, it's just enough to know that he decided to take this good news and use it as a ruse against his fellow bankers. So what he did is he started selling off his own assets, and the other bankers noticed this and began to panic. They knew that he was a man of good esteem and power in the banking world, and so when they thought he was nervous, they decided it was time for them to get nervous. And his plan started to work perfectly, for within 24 hours, the panic had built up so much that bankers were selling off everything they had at any cost. Well, when the news finally came through other channels to Great Britain that they had defeated Napoleon and that the British had actually won the war, imagine the consternation and the terror that struck those bankers that had heedlessly followed the other man's example. This one banker, they now realized, controlled all the finances of almost the entire country. To give you an idea of just how successful he was, the amount of money he had on June 17th was now 20 times that amount on June 19th. In 1915, 100 years later, the New York Times actually carried this entire story, unmasking the treachery of this one man. And the man's family was so filled with rage that the truth had come out that they took the New York Times to court. But the courts actually found that everything the Times said was perfectly lawful. It is exactly what had happened. And they made that man's family pay for all the court costs, as if to show that the New York Times was perfectly correct in what they had to say. That banking family you may have heard of before was the world-famous Rothschild family, and that's how they came to control most all the money in Great Britain, an empire at the time in which it said that the sun never set on the British Empire, meaning they owned so much territory around the world, for instance in India and Asia, that even when it was nighttime or dark in Great Britain, it was the middle of the day over in India, showing that Great Britain owned almost all the world at the time. And this one man, Nathan Rothschild, owned Great Britain, as it were. Now, my dear friends, our Lord told his apostles that such events would happen in the history of mankind, and that they're not very rare. He made it clear that in this world, the children of the world are very wise and very engaged in their pursuits, far much more, unfortunately, than the children of light. Think for a moment how well this banker had to plan out that strategy. Imagine all the care that went into it, and this was at a time when his country was at war. He should have been thinking of his country and their needs, and yet he was spending all of his time seeing, how can I become wealthy? How can I get rich at the sufferings of everyone else in my nation? He completely put his whole mind, heart, and soul into figuring out how he could use this time of turmoil to make himself better. And then all the other bankers, they showed the spirit of the world as well. They kept an eye on Nathan. They saw to do exactly what he was doing. They looked to him as a man of power and authority, and they would not deviate from his course at all. And their unhesitating, unquestioning following of his example led them to sell everything off in a frenzy, and actually led to their ultimate destruction. You contrast that with the scene that we have in today's gospel. Our Lord told his apostles in the clearest, most precise language he could, I am going to the Father. You shall lament, you shall weep, you shall not see me. He was telling them flat out, my passion is about to start. Everything that the Old Testament told you about the suffering Savior, the Messiah that would be led to slaughter, it's all about to begin. Amen, amen, I say to you, you shall be sorrowful. But how slow they were to comprehend this. In a few hours, when the temple guards showed up with their clubs, their swords, their chains, the Roman soldiers along with them, the apostles had forgotten everything our Lord said at the Last Supper about his going to the Father. They forgot that he had foretold to them that this was all part of the plan. It was as if they did not comprehend anything he had to say. The apostles, they should have known that this was coming. If they were like the people of the world, following their leader, engaged on every word he says, doing every one of his commands, they would not have fled from him in the Garden of Olives. They would not have seen this as a great disruption of things, but they would have known, okay, this is what he just told us is about to happen. And my dear friends, 2,000 years have elapsed since the apostles were too slow of mind and heart to follow our Lord's words and to stay with him during the passion and death as part of the plan rather than fleeing from him completely caught off guard. And in those 2,000 years, over and over again, the worldly wise are still intent on their goals. They still spare no efforts in getting what they want out of this world. And yet, sadly, for those who are the children of light, those of us who follow the banner of Christ, our risen King, so often we let even the most trivial things stop us in our service of the Lord. In our efforts to seek the glory of Christ the King, then, we must remember that He told us He is the way, the truth, and the life. It is our supreme duty, then, as His followers, to know what He meant by that, to love His truth, to learn His way of going through life, and to follow His life and His example. To do this successfully, then, we can start by turning off our TV, putting our computer to sleep, distancing ourselves from our phones on a more regular basis, and putting more time in our lives to the study of our faith, more time in our lives to prayer, spiritual reading, and recollection. By prayer, I mean we should start to make more time in our day, to see to it that our morning and our night prayers are said with attention and devotion. We will schedule a time for our rosary and not just get through it as a burden in the day or as an afterthought. Through these prayers, our Lord will give us the grace we need that He had earned during His life. Next, by spiritual reading, He will show us His way. His way of going through life, which is most perfectly seen in the New Testament, but which can also be seen by reading the lives of the saints, or going over again our catechism, the Catechism of the Council of Trent, or reading again the book My Catholic Faith. By doing this, we will encourage ourselves and see that many of the saints had to live through the same problems that we have to each and every day. And by seeing their example, it will help encourage us to do our best to follow our Lord, just as the children of the world follow their leaders. You'd be amazed at what a difference 15 minutes or a half hour can make if you set aside that time each day to read something about our Lord or the saints. And finally, there is our Lord's truth. This is shown to us by a spirit of recollection. When we turn off the world of the news of the world, its distractions, its entertainments, even for a few minutes each day, and just take that time to think about God, talk to Him of your troubles and difficulties. Nobody knows better how to tell Him what you're dealing with than you do. Nobody knows how to get the point across better than you can in your own words. So take some time each day to talk to our Lord, asking Him for the help you need, thanking Him for the graces that He gives you along the way. We must learn from the mistake of the apostles, my dear friends. If they could do it all over again, they would have remained faithful to our Lord that Holy Thursday night. They would have stayed by His side, as St. John eventually did. We do not have to go through the trial or the misfortune of letting Him down. We can learn from the apostles and stay very close to Him, even though He is so maligned and hated in the world today. It is no secret to say that we are at war with the spirit of the world, which hates our Lord so much, even as we strive to love Him in His Sacred Heart. Now, in this sermon, I mentioned a banker that lived over 200 years ago, and the apostles that lived 2,000 years ago. But let us consider for just a minute exactly what we're faced with today when it comes to being children of light and trying to serve our Lord, and see how the children of the world are outpacing us. In a recent study, it is shown that 5 billion people in the world are on social media. 5 billion people. Imagine if we could get that number to say their daily rosary. $1.3 trillion are spent just advertising social media. That's not the billions of dollars for a 30-second commercial at the Super Bowl. That's not the advertising you see in your grocery store or in the mall. Just on social media, $1.3 trillion are spent to get the children of the world to go in one direction or another. Imagine what good could be done with $1.3 trillion if that was put to the use of buying Bibles or catechisms, lives of the saints for those who know not God, or building churches or schools. On average, young adults alone have 8.5 or 9 social media accounts per person. That means they not only have one Facebook or one Twitter account or a Facebook or Twitter and an Instagram account, but they have 8 or 9 of them for each person. For certain sites like Instagram, which I actually would have thought was mostly used by young women, it was astounding to me to find out that over half the users of Instagram are males, and males who should be forming our world, should be forming our future generations. By that I mean those 25 to 34, those who should have the greatest impact on the world, they're the ones spending most of the time on Instagram and social media. And yet, you contrast that with how hard is it to get that same age group, that same demographic, to pray their rosary every day, or come to Mass on a weekly basis. I remember my dad, who is passed now, sitting on the edge of the bed after a long day's work, drilling with me the Latin so that I could become an altar boy. How good would it be if our young fathers, our young adult men, had that kind of dedication to their faith and put aside the time that they spend following the ways of the world. And the last battle line that we are facing in this war against the world and its ways is the time that is spent on social media by the world at large. It's very difficult from the pulpit for us to convince the people to say their rosary, to make their spiritual reading, to say their morning and night prayers. Yet in a recent survey, for everyone in the world, whether young or old, male or female, first world country or third world country, your average person spends 2 hours and 27 minutes a day just on social media. 30 minutes a day are spent on Facebook, 20 on YouTube, and 30 more on Instagram, all the time while people are tweeting in between what they're experiencing on these sites. And yet, 15 minutes for the rosary is sometimes impossible. 15 minutes of spiritual reading just can't be factored in anywhere. This is what I mean when I say we are at war, my dear friends, and why we have to make sure that we come out on our Lord's side, being as diligent in our practices to know, love, and serve Him as the worldly are in their pursuits for worldly happiness. Let it not be found amongst us who have been so blessed by God with the one true faith that we do not follow His way, His truth, and His life. But rather, let us persevere throughout life with the consolation to know that our Lord has told us that we would indeed have sorrow, but that we would see Him again, that our hearts would rejoice, and that when we do see Him and rejoice, that joy no man shall take from us. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.